What's up, guys? Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you'll get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co, and be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Duckamania.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episodic adventure. This is Talkamania. I am your co-host, Dez, one half of Talkamania, here with the Boozer Wade himself, J-Bomb. We are on the road to WrestleMania. Next week it begins with NXT TakeOver, the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania. It's an exciting time of year. You got a big smile on your face. How's it going, my friend?
It's WrestleMania week. Ooh, yeah, almost. Ooh. And I'm COVID-free, baby. Yeah.
Nice. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that, my friend. You feeling better at least?
No. Feel like shit still. No, of course I feel a bit better, but my sleep schedule's all fucked up. I feel like shit. I went to bed late last night. Me and the wife, we had a good night last night. So, this morning was a bit rough. That's the age we're at, yeah. Tomorrow, though, I don't work, so very excited.
Oh, you had the Friday off, eh? I got the Monday this year, ooh, which is really weird because I've been at my company for almost 13 years combined, and this is the first time we got the Monday, and people are bitching and complaining because they want Friday off. Totally get that, right?
Oh, no, I want the Monday off. Monday's
always
better.
That's the thing, because I remember always getting the Friday off, and then the Sunday, you're like, fuck, I wish I had the Monday off. And now I'm going to be like hitting that Sunday and be like, I got the Monday, y'all.
Dude, I mean, like, if you, first of all, Fridays already have a good feeling.
Yeah.
Right? It's already a good feeling. People are like, yeah, well, you get that on the Thursday. You don't, though. The Thursday doesn't feel like the Friday.
It starts to have like a feel. Day. It starts to have a little bit of a feel like, oh, we're almost there. Like today, I feel a little bit like energized. I got a lot of work done. I was very productive because I'm like, the weekend's coming. Tomorrow's going to be great. It starts to have a feel. They talked about it on Seinfeld. Monday, Sunday has a feel, because it does. You're going back to work. It's kind of a depressing day.
It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. Monday's got a feel. It's probably one of my worst mental health days every week. I fucking hate it. Tuesday doesn't have a feel. Wednesday doesn't have too much of a feel. And then Thursday, you start to have a feel. Friday's got a feel. Saturday has a feel.
I don't care for the Saturday feeling. If I have to choose one day to feel all the time, it's Fridays.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. Friday is my number one, then Saturday for sure, because you still got an extra day of recovery afterwards. But I like the Fridays.
By Saturday, it's already slipping away.
Yeah, for
sure. The anxiety's already there.
Yeah.
You're like, the great Friday's over, because Fridays are fearless. You could do whatever the fuck you want. You know you're recovered by Monday. So Friday, you could do whatever. Saturday, you still got to start being careful. You got to start being responsible again. Sunday, might as well just be a Monday.
Yeah, and they put pay-per-views on those days. So at least kind of it makes it a little bit nice to have pay-per-views. But we always talk about how you can't have some beers. You can't go all out and enjoy it and, you know, jump on the post shows like we used to. Like, we're getting old, right? You're talking about how you had a nice night with your wife and you're here yawning and trying to recover. Like,
whoever decided on pay-per-views on a Sunday is a real piece of shit.
I love the fact when they used to do them on Saturday for AEW and NXT, and they switched that. They got it. I don't know. I want to know why. They got to get back to that.
When does this start? Hold on. I'm taking a look here. We are Thursday the 1st. This seems to start. I have a date here. Tuesday, April 6th is what?
For WrestleMania week, you mean, officially?
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, like, there may be some shit that I'm not thinking of, but Wednesday, because we have NXT. NXT starts on Wednesday, Thursday. Then the Hall of Fame Friday, Hall of Fame, and then Hall of Fame. No, then WrestleMania starts Saturday, Sunday. I think Hall of Fame, they do the 2 years on the same night, probably, I guess.
Oh, okay. So NXT is strictly, it's on Wednesday. Like NXT TakeOver starts Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like a regular night, Wednesday, Thursday. And then after WrestleMania, they announce that NXT is moving to Tuesdays. But that'll only happen after WrestleMania.
Huh. When's night two of NXT?
Thursday.
So it's Wednesday, Thursday. Friday is the special SmackDown, right?
Friday's a special SmackDown, and I imagine it's also the Hall of Fame, I think.
But Hall of Fame has actually already happened.
Yeah, it's taped. It's been taped.
Okay. That's kind of lame. Why would they do that?
Because no one's going to be there, and like it's just easier to get that shit done. It's just like that way they can focus on the production of WrestleMania. Like it's just easier. It's easier from a production standpoint. I totally get it.
So we have to predict NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yes! Yeah. I thought it was...
Good, yeah. We have material tonight.
We got material that I don't have to
look,
go
man,
over for.
I got you covered. I did homework. We got lots of stuff to talk about today.
All right,
yes,
good.
NXT TakeOver will be one of them. But we did want to take this moment to make a special announcement. We are entering the month of April, and you guys have been following us for a long time on the journey of Talkamania. This will sadly be our last episode of Talkamania. That's it, guys. Like, we've been on this road together, but J-Bomb and I decided we got to hang this shit up. You know, we had a good run, and April Fools! Motherfuckers, okay. You're stuck with us, bitches.
You know, and I was thinking about tweeting that out today. I was like, should I tell Dez or should I just go and be like, guys, it's hard. it's tough, you know, giving our opinions and people having opinions on our opinions. And I don't think it's fair for people to have opinions on our opinions. I think my opinion is the only opinion that should be heard. And if anybody challenges it, well, they're just wrong. So...
Well, you're the one doing three podcasts a week. I'd figure maybe I believe it.
My opinion is the only opinion that matters.
I'm burnt the fuck out, man. I texted my wife, and I'm ready to quit everything.
Yes, that's what we did.
A lot of April Fools out there, though, today. A lot of wrestlers. I think Austin Aries deleted his Twitter. People were excited about that. He came back today saying, April Fools. You got Jordan Grace thirst-trapping people as well, too, today for April Fools.
Just today?
Well, every day, but yeah. She may try to make it special
today. She needs more content for her new book,
I guess.
Is that it? Yeah.
But yes, lots of April Fools, guys. It is April 1st. It'll be after April 1st, but we want to get on the action because, you know, our opinion counts, like J-Bomb said. But yeah, here we are. Another week of Talkamania. We're heading into WrestleMania week, and a lot of exciting shit. What else is going on in your life, man, before we get into things?
Well, I survived the vid, so that's the biggest one. My kid is off school forever because, that's the way the school boards work. Literally have like 3 days of school in the next 2 weeks. I think that's pretty much it, dude. It's been pretty quiet. We bought one of those backyard playgrounds for the kids.
Right. You told me about that. Did you unveil it to them?
I have it. I got it. But I haven't
even
unveiled
it to them yet.
No. Okay. It's in the garage, and they think that it's something for daddy's workshop. But idiots. It's just like right there. It's like a fucking slide covered. They're like, I got to put this thing up. I got to get them out of the house and then get it all up and try not to get too drunk while doing it.
That's going to be fun.
I think it's like a whole day's worth of work.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah. But honestly, man, and I mean, I went for a COVID test. I got a negative result. That's pretty much it, dude. I've done that. Just work, man. Just work. What about you?
I've been working a lot too myself. So I got two projects starting up at work, so I've been trying to staff them, get set up. I was really motivated today. I kicked some ass at work.
Nice.
Outside of that, went got my winter tires changed today, which is funny because we got hit with snow. So I woke up and I'm like, fuck, you know, great day to pick it. But
wow, you got like a flake.
Yeah, well, we had a blanket, but by the end of it's gone now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the weather looks nice. There's going to be some rain as well, too. So I think we're out of it. Getting my tempo taken down this weekend. Outside of that, I got my tax return back, which is always really sweet. And I transferred my RSP over to Questrade. It went through. I'm done. All my money is in Questrade now. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then next is to pull my stock options over from work. That's about it. Outside of that, I want to ask you a question, okay? This is kind of a very weird, random one.
Oh, God.
In your household, when you're cooking or whatever it is, what is the most popular spice you use outside of salt and pepper in your household?
Most popular spice?
Yes.
Outside of salt and pepper?
Yes.
Does garlic count?
Well, garlic powder, if you're using garlic powder, but no, then it would not count. Like what actual spice, like a, you know, powdered.
A powdered spice. I would say, I think my wife likes to use paprika.
Cool.
I feel like this is a trick question, though.
Not a trick question. I'm just curious because we just went on Amazon and bought like a big bottle of, ours is cumin. We use a lot of cumin.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, love it, man. Eggs and all kinds of stuff. Pâté chinois. I put in my pâté chinois as well, too, in the meat when I'm cooking it. It's fucking great.
It kind of like makes it, it tastes like tacos, I find.
Well, yeah. It's kind of more of like an Indian spice, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like that. I know it's an Indian spice, but it's
super diverse, though. You can use it in so much things. And I put it in my hamburger meat when I make my pâté chinois. And, like, we even put on the baby's food a little bit. Like, I don't know why she likes to introduce that. But so we ended up buying, because we always use so much of it, that we bought this big bottle of cumin today. And I'm just like, man, that's crazy how much we go through. And I'm like, I wonder what people's spice of choice are in each household. And
I bet your oregano is high.
I don't use oregano that much. I find it's kind of tasteless.
I'm a wop, though.
Also, smoked paprika. Dude, have you ever used paprika? That is fucking the shit. Yeah.
Smoked paprika is
better. Put that in eggs. That's really good. Put that in chili. Put that in your chili, guys, when you make it. That's going to give it a nice little kick, man. That's fucking good.
Smoked paprika is good. Yeah. I use sriracha a lot, but that's a liquid.
You mean like the actual like bottle, the red like sriracha?
Yeah, the cock sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
I use that.
I use the piri piri sauce. Yeah, the Nando's. Mm. That's good.
Nando's
man.
Piri piri is so good.
Yeah,
dude.
Medium too. Like, I don't know. First of all, the medium's really spicy. And then they have like hot, and then they have extra hot. And I'm like, how could you even go down that? Because the medium alone is hot, I find.
There's a medium one, and then there's also one that's like a garlic.
Yeah, I haven't tried that.
The garlic one is hotter than the medium one.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's really good. And it has like this like citrus zest to it. Like,
yeah, it is good.
Really,
I love
really good.
Piri. Dude, I've been to Nando's in England. It is so fucking good, dude.
I bet.
It's like their Saint Hubert, but it's like Portuguese style stuff. It's so fucking
Portuguese good. Chicken is so good, man. Oh, there's some really good places in Montreal, guys, to check out as well, too. Maybe you have them too, but yeah. Good shit. Cool. All right. I also want to send out a big congrats. Big congrats to Scott Gatta. Dude took it home this past week on Stump the Bump contest. He beat Mike Brown. Dude, I was getting up 10 in the morning. It was like 10:15, 10:20. And I'm like, I saw a tweet. I'm like, oh, shit. So I jump out, run downstairs, turn on my TV, put on the WWE Network. It had just started. I'm telling you, man, I was sweating for this guy. It was a nerve-wracking one because the first round's a lightning round, which gives you the advantage into kind of like the final round, which is kind of like a slap shot. I mean, a shootout. You kind of like see who gets the first to get to like three or five, best of five or something like that.
Okay.
So Scott didn't do too well in the first round, which like he's been pretty solid and consistent the whole tournament. And he was going basically up against Mike Brown. Mike did a very good job, so he had the advantage going to the second round. It felt like the kind of momentum was shifting in Mike Brown's favor. And then in the second round, just like, I don't know, Mike Brown's great. He's a great mind, but like he didn't do very good. They picked No Way Out as a topic, and Gata just did a very, he pulled it off. He won, man. And it was funny because these two, like, I swear to God, you felt the genuine like heat towards it. Like it was a really good feud built up. And then they gave a lot of respect to each other when it was all done on social media and stuff, which was fucking fantastic. So he won. He's your big winner, guys. He's going to WrestleMania, so you can get his autograph. And he'll be back next year to defend that title as well, too, against who knows who's going to be his competition. We'll
Did he
see.
Win tickets to WrestleMania?
No, he's already going, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I think he wins tickets. I think he wins tickets to somewhere like local when it comes back.
Okay.
But he also wins a title of his choosing in the WWE shop. And he gets the custom. It ended up being a custom Shawn Michaels belt.
Yeah, I saw Shawn Michaels give him the shout out.
Yeah, sign. Well, I'm not gonna downplay it because it's
obviously
amazing.
He did it for both of them.
Yeah, you saw it cut. Yeah, eh? It was of like course. Scott got it. Boom, cut. But of course. Still really cool. gave him the championship. I wouldn't mind Shawn Michaels saying my name on TV, so that's pretty cool.
I was going to say.
And the funny thing is he tweeted out after that Shawn Michaels blocked Gata, and I don't know why or when and how this happened. I'm going to have to ask him, but he's like, this is awkward. So, I don't know what happened there. I think he told us about it one time back in the day when we were talking to him on Drivermania, but yeah, that's awesome. Way to go, Scott. Big congrats. And you know what? That punch is a ticket. That earns you a spot back on a future Drivermania, 100%. We'll figure out eventually down the road how that happens and how it's going to work, but we'll see you again. Congratulations again, my friend. Way to go.
We should, we should have pulled him on the show tonight and had like him talk about his experience on the show.
Well, maybe we can do that in a future show. Yeah. It doesn't have to be tonight. We can pull him on. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's get that done.
And then I want to also plug, I was on the Chaos Theory podcast this past weekend,
Yes.
With Mike Farrell. Great time, great conversation. Two good wrestling minds shooting the shit. It was good because he watches wrestling. So it was a little bit different than Talkamania. I had somebody to talk a little bit more. Usually I talk too much, but Mike was a great host, good format, asked a lot of good questions. We talked about NXT. Him and I both have a passion for NXT, the women's wrestling. A really good show. Planted maybe some seeds for some future stuff down the line, some fantasy booking. Really fun, guys. So check it out. Chaos Theory Podcast. Good shit. Go check.
All right, well, let's plug his show. Let's go to a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk some more shit. We'll be right back.
Do you love wrestling?
Yeah!
Do you want to get an insight into professional wrestling from a lifelong fan's perspective? Kick back, enjoy a whiskey with Mike Farrell on the Chaos Theory Podcast every Monday via Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcast fix. Follow Chaos Theory on Twitter at chaos_theorypod or online at fullpresscoverage.com for more info.
Chaos Theory, baby.
Oh, yeah, Doc. So we're episode 193 now. Here on the road to WrestleMania. 7 episodes before the big 200. I don't know what we got planned for, but we got a lot. We got Drivermania 12, which is a one-year anniversary of Drivermania, so yeah. We're working on that project. Then we have episode 200, which is coming up, which we're going to be working on that project. And then, yeah, dude.
We got WrestleMania, man. A lot of shit's coming up. Be prepared to see a little bit more of us coming up. We might do a post show for NXT and WrestleMania, all that shit. Got 2 nights. So let's see if we can stay up and do that shit. But I'd like to. It's going to be a lot of fun. The card's really cool. We're also going to give our NXT predictions tonight, guys. Me and Mike Farrell talked about it on Chaos Theory Pod. But we're going to do it again tonight or give our perspective, J-Bomb and I. Plus, J-Bomb hasn't been watching too much of NXT. So I want to get his take on kind of what he thinks might happen. It's kind of fun sometimes when somebody doesn't watch it as much or as intensely as I do and then get their perspective on things and what they'd like to see. So
why don't we start with that?
We want to get into predictions.
Well, I feel like we just came out of the
Undisputed always going to be a segue is because you're always playing that first, right? So it's always going to be Undisputed Era updates.
I feel like we need to do the Undisputed Era right off the bat. The unsanctioned match. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. Let's fucking do predictions. Let's change it up.
All right.
Let's do it.
Hit that button. Hit that button.
I'm going to do it. All right. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Des and J-Bomb's predictions.
Two nights, baby.
Yeah, two nights. So, like, what do you think about this two-night format? So, like, I know people are like, it's too much, but it's shorter shows within 2 nights. I think they plan to make it 1 night initially this year and switch it back. But do you think it's going to be the norm moving forward? Is this something you would prefer moving forward? I think you, me guessing, you want the one-nighters.
For WrestleMania, I want 1 night. For WrestleMania, I want 1 night. No, I prefer 1 night, I think, overall. I mean, I kind of don't mind it right now because of the whole, like, lockdown. There's not really much else to do. It's not like we can really travel and go do, like, the full WrestleMania experience. Like, when we went to New York, we had 4 nights of fucking brutal hell. And when I mean brutal hell, I mean drinking our asses off watching great wrestling for 4 days straight. I remember waking up every morning and being like, oh, we're not going to drink tonight. And then
yeah, right. I think by Monday Night Raw, like, I think Cha-Cha was, like, falling asleep or something like that. It was, like, I think by the end of WrestleMania, she was falling asleep because it went to, like, 1 a.m. or something. So yeah. That was a wild night, though. That was a lot of fun.
I remember Rob being like, okay, well, we got to drive back tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, fuck, I've had eight beers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good night. It was fun. It was a fun adventure, too. I think they can make a lot of money doing it two nights, but realistically, like, you think they're going to sell out an arena two nights in a row? They very well might, yes, but they might not. So, like, it's probably in their best interest to just stick to one night, and they probably will once they're able to get back to full capacity, which is probably next year's WrestleMania. So, I imagine that they would. Maybe NXT could be a two-nighter because usually they're in smaller venues.
I still think WWE could sell out an arena twice.
Yeah?
Yeah, for WrestleMania, man.
They make so much money doing it two-nighters, man. But then, like, if they don't sell out, imagine the news, right? Meltzer would be like,
yeah, but I mean, like, everybody's there anyway, so they're selling out on every event. So adding one more event to the weekend, I don't think would be a big change. Wrestling fans are crazy, man.
Yeah, they're crazy. I mean, good ways and bad ways.
You could triple the price, and they'll be like, ah, that sucks. WWE sucks. Here's my money. Yeah. And they'll still go.
Yep.
They'll complain the whole fucking time that it sucked once it was over.
Yeah, 100%.
They'll just go the next year.
All right, let's jump into things. Night number one. Let's go through the card, okay? So right now we're looking at five matches. We're going to get... Oh, I didn't know this. We're getting a singles match. Okay, this one we'll go through. Pete Dunne versus Kushida. All right, cool. So no real story leading up to this, but two guys that are, you know, been on the radar, mid-card, kind of had good runs, been very solid, very good entertainers in the ring. So on paper... Well, on paper, it looks good, actually, to be honest with you. I think this is going to be a good match. I don't think it's anything to kind of like... I think a lot of people are like, whatever, why is this match on the card? But this is going to be a good one. It's funny, because when I did with Mike, some of these matches were not on this yet. And this past Wednesday, they kind of formulated. So I expect this to be an awesome match. Both great wrestlers. You got Pete Dunne. He's a great technical wrestler. He's very similar to Shayna in terms of like working the fingers and bending joints. I would actually say Shayna is a lot more like him, because I think he's... Yeah. The perfectionist when it comes to this. And Kushida's always a pleasure to watch, man. So this is going to be a fucking good match. Like, this is going to be a really good NXT quality match.
It's going to be like a feel-good opener. And yeah. It's the only match on the card on the two nights that's like no stipulation.
Yeah. I have to think they're higher on Pete Dunne. I think Kushida kind of like... I don't know, man. They're really pushing him hard towards the North American title. I don't think he's in the match anymore for the North American Championship. So I guess he's kind of fallen out of that grace of chasing Gargano. And I think Pete Dunne's been doing a really good job. He faced Balor in a really good match for the championship. And I think he deserves a nice little win at WrestleMania weekend. I'm going to go with Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne's going to win this one.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, if I have to pick one, it's Pete Dunne. I'm higher on Pete Dunne than I am on Kushida. As good as Kushida is. Pete Dunne's my man.
I want you to watch this one though, and I know you will, but I want you to watch this one. You know, openers, people might just be easing in or whatever. But I always tell you, watch Kushida, and I know you've watched him a couple times, but like, watch him. Like, you're gonna be impressed with this match, man. It's gonna be good.
I think I've enjoyed every Pete Dunne match I've ever watched, so I'm not too
Kushida,
worried.
Kushida, not Pete Dunne.
I know. Okay. I know. But Pete Dunne's in it, so I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying you'll watch? Okay, I get it. Good shit.
I'll watch it for Pete Dunne, and I'll stay because of Kushida. Put it that way.
So. Then we got this. Well, we got the six-man gauntlet eliminator match. We saw the battle royale. And we can actually use this to segue into some NXT talk. So we saw the battle royale this past week. We talked about the stipulation on the. I don't know if we talked about it in the podcast last week. I think we did. But it's interesting because what always bothered me about gauntlet matches was the order in which you come out.
Yeah.
Like, what determines your first, second, third, fourth, fifth? And you can always just figure out like why, who comes out, who's gonna win. Unless it's one of those journeyman gauntlet matches, you know it's going to be like the last person, usually, or second last person to win this match. At least there's some story behind it. So I like this because it's a kind of like a battle royal, Royal the Rumble match, which it's always a treat to have those. If you're on Raw, you're on SmackDown, over-the-top battle royals, always fun. And with this one, the last six participants are basically going to go in a gauntlet match on night one, and the winner of that gauntlet match will face Gargano night two for the North American Championship, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. The six men who ended up being in the finals of this was Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and LA Knight. With LA Knight winning this, LA Knight is a new wrestler that they pulled in from the indie scene. J-Bomb, I don't know if you've actually seen him yet, have you not?
I have no idea who this guy is. Eli Drake,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I know who that is.
So he came in, he's okay. I mean, like, I don't know too much about him. So, like, I don't know how amazing he is. I watch some of his movesets and stuff like that. Look kind of generic. And honestly, like, he's a good promo, I would say. But when you listen to his promos, I feel like he kind of grew up in our era and is, like, channeling The Rock, channeling Austin, and channeling Jericho, and kind of putting it together into kind of, like, what he learned. And I like it, but it all feels like he's not being himself and doing his own thing. So I'm kind of like, okay, dude, like, it seems like you're trying too hard. You're trying to be somebody else. But anyways, I'll see if he'll grow on me. He won this gauntlet match, which actually was good because it came down to him and Loomis at the end. And then Loomis kind of tricked him, but then he went through the ropes and then kind of pulled Loomis's legs down, make him fall out. So LA Knight ended up winning, which is good because I have Loomis winning this gauntlet match anyways to face Gargano. He's second of last in. So right now I'm like, okay, well, he's second to last, and I think he's going to win this. And they didn't put him in last because it would just be too obvious that way.
Yeah. Where did Cameron Grimes? Is that the order that it's in? Was Cameron third?
Cameron, I don't know what number he came out. But yeah, yes, he did. Yes, Cameron Grimes did, because it was funny. Cameron Grimes tried to pay off Loomis and LA Knight with money. And he said, here, boys, you go at that side. You go at that side, and I'm going to win. And they both like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they threw him over, which was funny. It was funny, man. Dude, Cameron Grimes is hilarious. He's hilarious.
I think it comes down to those three.
Cool.
For me.
Cool. I'm going to go with Dexter Loomis to win it. I mean, it looks like the story is inevitable. It's going towards Loomis and Gargano.
So if it's Loomis and Gargano, who wins between Loomis and Gargano?
We'll get to night two. We're doing night one. All right. So I got Dexter Loomis winning this.
I'll go with Dexter Loomis as well. It makes sense.
I think it's great. His time as well, too. Guy's been around a long time on the indie scene. They don't have a huge window for him in NXT. They got to get this shit done. He's got a few injuries that plagued him, but let's get this shit on. Give it to Dexter, and that's that. All right, what else? We got the tag team, triple threat tag team championship match. MSK, they're kind of like... kind of like Young Buckish, like, you know, lots of spots, lots of exciting movement and stuff, versus the Grizzled Young Veterans, which are kind of like an FTR, the revival. And Legado del Fantasma, that is Escobar's entourage, and whatever, you know? So basically, the NXT Tag Team Championships were vacated due to an injury, and now we have a triple threat match.
Who were the champs?
Oni Lorcan and his buddy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Burchill, I like to say. Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oni Lorcan and Burch.
I just know there was another Burchill or something in the past. I don't want to mix them up. All right. Yeah. I mean, like, I think this will be an exciting tag team match. Don't undersell these three teams. The Grizzled Young Veterans are going to be more of like a vanilla meat potato team in there, which is going to be good. And then you have MSK. They're going to do a lot of spots. You haven't watched them wrestle yet, eh?
No. I have no idea who they are.
Okay, so you're going to either love them or hate them. They're really very popular on the indie scene, and they are very spot-oriented.
Hey, one of them's name is Dez.
Wesley and Nash Carter is their NXT names, though. So
okay,
they
at one point they were
Desmond. Yeah, they changed
Dez.
Their names when they came up.
Yeah.
MSK, still don't know what it stands for, but that is the team name. I just think that they're going to win, I guess.
MSK. You think so? Are they the ones that, like, they're getting featured? But...
I don't know. I just feel like Legado del Fantasma, no. There's no, I don't really think they're going to win. Grizzled Young Veterans could win. They're a solid tag team. But I feel like MSK, they're going to fast track them to the main roster, I feel. Not yet. They're going to give them their tag team title runs. But I feel like, you know, the Usos and the New Day, like, they're a prominent tag team that's always kind of they need more of those in the main roster. Can't always be New Day. Can't always be the Usos. So I feel like, you know, having MSK go up there, they can have the longevity of having these good tag team matches, you know, and people seem to like the Bucks. So maybe this will be WWE's version, not of the Bucks, but, like, you know, a flashy spot fest tag team who sells a bit more. It's going to be Grizzled or MSK. But for the purposes of, you know, the winners of the Women's Dusty Cup getting the titles, why not? Let's do MSK.
All right, I'll go MSK as well, even though I don't know who they are.
All right.
I don't know who any of these guys are, tell you the truth. Grizzled Young Veterans, I've heard of them. Didn't they win the Dusty?
They were always runners-up.
Oh, they were always runners-up?
Yeah, I think 2 years now they were runners-up.
Legado del Fantasma, I know. Isn't there a dude named that? Santos Escobar, it's his guys?
His name was like Escobar had an old name of something Fantasmar. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
know.
All right. Somewhere along.
I'm shaming myself here, but I only started watching Escobar when he was Escobar. So, okay. Moving on, we got Walter versus Ciampa.
Yeah, what the fuck? Where'd that come from?
Walter came out, he made his debut in NXT, and basically Ciampa came out and said, "You have something I want. I want the NXT championship." And he's like, man, Walter started talking to him in German. Sound like the scariest shit ever. And then Ciampa kind of just started, you know, attacking Walter, and the Imperium started fucking just beating the shit out of Ciampa. And I'm telling you, man, go back and watch this slap, this chop to the chest that he gives Ciampa. I'm telling you, so nasty.
So
sound like his heart was going to stop. And then he rips off Ciampa's necklace, which I think is his daughter's or something that reminds him of his daughter, a little memento, souvenir, whatever. And they kind of made it a little personal, which was nice. And then in the end, he's like, I'll see you at TakeOver. And I'm telling you, man, I thought Walter could not speak English very well at all. He cut a very good promo this past week on NXT. Yeah, he cut a very good promo on NXT where his, like, maybe he was reading it or whatever, but, like, no, it was pretty good, man. His English was pretty good, so I was impressed.
I'm pretty sure Walter's completely fluent in English.
I didn't know that.
Really?
No.
Well, isn't he British?
I always heard him, you know, he's German, I believe. I always heard him talking in German on his matches and his in the UK, right? When he was in NXT UK. Like, I never really heard him speak English too much. Austrian. My bad, guys.
Okay.
Austrian. So, yeah.
Hold on, though. Did he grow up there or is he just from there? I always thought the guy's British.
No.
I've heard him speak English a million times.
No, I haven't. Yeah,
oh,
I,
you
didn't,
haven't?
I haven't.
Really?
No. So I was really impressed. Anyways, I'm really looking forward to this match. I think this is going to be probably on this card both nights, maybe the most physical match on this card.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Walter, Ciampa's going to want to get his ass kicked. You know Ciampa. Sacrificial lamb out there.
Yeah. So one of the contenders for match of the year last year was Walter versus Dragunov. And that was just like massive Walter versus the small guy. And like they brought hell to each other. It was so brutal. And I feel like this is going to be a contender for that. I think Ciampa's going to take a beating. He's going to take a fucking beating, man.
Well, good for Ciampa for fitting in somewhere.
Exactly. He's fitting in somewhere. NXT TakeOver weekend. He's going to help push Walter coming over to NXT US. I think that's it. I think it's a plan. I think Walter's here now, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of seems like. I don't know if you still don't like Walter. And maybe this is the whole thing. It's just fun not to like Walter. But I have a feeling by the end of this, you're going to be like, okay, I kind of like Walter.
I mean, I already kind of like Walter. I forget where it was where it turned. It might have even been in New York when I was booing him. It's always been fun to hate Walter.
Yeah, but
I'm over the chops. Right. Honestly, I'm over the chops.
Like. And I like his the fact that he's like a big, not super in shape dude. Like he's in shape, but like he's like an everyman in shape. You know, like I like it.
He looks like a fucking Boucheron going on,
dude.
There, man.
Yeah, butcher. And you know, you can watch those MMA fights, right? You see big guys like that all the time, and they fucking dominate. So like, dude, this is going to be an awesome, hard hitting match. But I think again, Ciampa's trying to help people, you know, put them over in good light. Ciampa needs this, 100%.
Yeah,
he won't get this though. He's gonna lose. It's Walter's gonna win this match.
Oh yeah, Walter's winning this fight. Yeah, I'm agreeing with that.
All right, cool. Well, let's move on to the main event, night one. We got Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, guys. Looking forward to this match. I've been looking forward to this match for quite some time. If you watched NXT this past week and the week before, Raquel's been beating the shit out of Io Shirai, like beating the tar out of her. Slamming her on tables, like stiff tables. They didn't break. It looked really hard in her back. This past week, just like slamming her around, her head onto walls, threw her through a wall. And then at the end of it, I was like, okay, well, this is actually promising because it looks like Raquel's just dominating her so much that I have a feeling maybe Io's going to pull it off. She might do it. At the end of the night, when all was said and done, Io came down to the ring, pulled out the mic and said, "Get your fucking ass down here," in Japanese. Raquel came down, they started brawling, and Io ended up on top in the end with her arm raised. So I'm like, fuck.
I mean, this goes all the way back to War Games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She pinned Io, right? So, again.
Yeah, for the win.
Yeah. So, before I go off and you say, yeah, I agree, me too. What do you think? What do you think about this match? What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think it's Raquel Gonzalez's time. I just feel like Io's had a run. If I look at the timeline of Io as a champion, she's been through everybody. Is it time for main roster for Io? Yeah, probably. But it going all the way back to War Games with Raquel Gonzalez, kind of the beginning of the launch of her was defeating Io Shirai in that match, slamming her through the table. And now that you say that Io Shirai is the last person to have her arms raised on NXT last week,
yep.
It all depends. Is she going to kiss that title at the beginning of the match? I think she kisses the title in the beginning of the match. I think Raquel Gonzalez.
Figuratively, I don't know if it's a thing in Japan, so.
I don't know if it's a Japanese thing. I think it's just a WWE thing. I've noticed this, that whenever they kiss the title, they're kissing it goodbye.
I don't know if it's a WWE thing. If I knew I was going out there, I'd probably do it. Yeah. But the minute you go back and be like, why did you do that? You're giving it away, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. So, yeah, I'm picking Raquel Gonzalez.
Dude, I love this Io Shirai run. Like you said, she's been going through everybody and their mother. So, look, Raquel's beast. She's really good in the ring. They've been putting so much stock in her. Like, NXT, WWE, they love Raquel. She's working hard, and I agree. I think this is her time. Give her the championship. She's a great champion to kind of carry the belt moving forward. She has so many options of where and who and what she can challenge or who she can challenge. And then you had Dakota Kai helping her, right? Helping her retain that title if needed, you know, when needed. And then you can build tension between them or whatever. It's almost like a Diesel and a Shawn Michaels kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you have Raquel in those like leather pants that look like Diesel. You're like, and she walks around. I'm like, holy shit. And then you have pesky Dakota Kai. So it almost reminds me a lot of them. But yeah, man, like you look at the size difference. I don't know how Io's going to be able to withstand this. I think she's also going to take an ass whooping and keep coming back and keep coming back. And then eventually Raquel's just going to put her down. And that'll be that. Credit to Io. She won the championship at NXT TakeOver. TNA TakeOver In Your House, which was almost a year ago. Almost.
Was it In Your House with the first one after last time's like,
I don't know what month it was, but it was a long time. She's had the title for quite some time now. So, yeah, good run for her. And again, you know, call-ups happen after WrestleMania, so maybe Io goes up to the main roster. But there's something special about her, and I think Triple H knows it. I think NXT knows it. I just hope that it translates well into the main roster, and she doesn't start taking losses and have to, like, earn her way into that spot. Because there is something special about her. And I think we're slowly moving away from the four horsewomen being the focal point. And having some other people like Bianca, Ripley, Io move in there. I think it's long overdue. And I think she's one of the workers that can help make that happen. So, again, I'm going to go with Raquel Gonzalez. And I believe that, that's it. Sorry. It hurts me to say because I love Io, but Raquel Gonzalez.
I know. We're betting against our girl. But it is what it is. I agree. Raquel Gonzalez over Io Shirai to close off night one of NXT TakeOver. It hurts.
We want to do night two? Or you want to break?
Let's do night two. Yeah, no.
All right, cool.
No. We'll do this.
We'll do night two, and then we'll break before we get into topics. And then,
cool.
All right, cool. All right, guys. Night two. Just announced we got the women's NXT tag team champions defending their titles as Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Shotzi's growing on me every week. I think she's great. Her personality, her charisma. She's awesome. And her and Ember Moon were great coming out in the tank this week. That was a lot of fun. They have like one of those Nerf bazookas that shoot.
Nice.
Yeah, they hit Indy with it this week, which is fun. Against The Way.
So that's a horrible name.
That's Candice and Indy Hartwell. Yeah, it's kind of a silly name. I'm telling you, man. I'm slowly becoming an Indy Hartwell guy.
Really?
Yeah. Did not like her. Did not like her look. Didn't like anything about her. I think she's funny. She actually changed her name on Twitter to Indy Loomis now because I told you she had a little obsession over Loomis.
Yes.
Yeah, she likes being choked, all that stuff. She's funny. And dude, man, she's very strong in the ring. And she's a very, like, honestly, like, she's got a nice figure. Like, I don't know. Like, I like the work she put. I like her. I'm starting to become an Indy Hartwell guy. And this past week, they had a tag team match, The Way, against a development tag team or some newcomers to NXT that are kind of going to be the future of NXT, but obviously enhancement talent in this case. And they had a good match. LeRae did her little face stomp, and then Indy came off, did a springboard like Macho Man elbow drop, and it looked really fucking cool, man.
Nice.
Like, yeah, Indy is cool, man. She's growing a lot. I think this has been a really good thing for her. So we got Ember Moon, Shotzi Blackheart versus The Way for the tag team titles. I think this match is going to be great. These two teams have already fought on NXT, and it was magic. So, again, putting this on NXT TakeOver, great for these women. They're going to put on a hell of a show. But those women, they're not going to drop the tag team titles yet. So, Ember Moon, Shotzi, those are my picks.
That's kind of a toss-up. I don't know. That new NXT Women's Tag Team Championship, who knows? It's already been passed around once, right? I don't know enough about it, so I'm going to have to agree with you, but I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't really know who India Hartwell is. So,
well, there you go. You'll start learning about her after this match. But yes, the titles have been passed around a little bit. I mean, they're new, but obviously day one, they were given to Dakota Kai and Raquel. I don't think that should have been the case. They should have had a match to determine and then have Ember and Shotzi win. But I feel like it was a pat in the back for Dakota Kai and especially Gonzalez, the hard work they put in, you know, let them be a little part of history and then get the tag team titles over. Tell Raquel, don't worry, you're moving on to bigger and better things. And that's where we are. But yes, so we're both in agreement. Ember Moon, Shotzi, you're more or less going with my take, and you'll enjoy and you'll learn a little bit more about Indy after this. Indy Lunas.
I don't like Candice LeRae, so fuck her.
Yeah, I'm not the I like her, but like I don't know. Like, you know, I'm so so with her. Like she's
and
not
I like Shotzi Blackheart, so I like the titles on her.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So then we got Johnny Gargano in the Gauntlet Elimination match. Well, he's taking on the Gauntlet Elimination winner on night two. So we think that's gonna be Lumis. We got Gargano versus Lumis, and we know that Austin Theory will probably play a part in this because he's going to be on the outside of the ring. I don't think he's got a match, so it makes sense that he's around causing some trouble for Lumis. So that's the only thing that kind of makes me think,
No, Gargano's not retaining, bro. No way. It's Lumis's time.
They better. I think they better, but I don't know, man.
Okay, here. Let me put it this way. It's either Cameron Grimes or Dexter Lumis versus Johnny Gargano. And to me, it's time to strap the belt on either of those two people. Now, the issue with Johnny Gargano not having a championship is Johnny Gargano now goes back into that category of Tommaso Ciampa. Where the hell does he fit in without a title in NXT? Does Johnny Gargano go up to the main roster? I could see Johnny going up.
I don't know because he's got the whole group with him.
Well, who's in the group? Him and Austin Theory and who else?
And Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae.
So it's the four of them.
Yeah. I don't think all four of them are going to go up.
No, okay. Yeah, that's fair. But Gargano then could fit in just with those four.
I don't think Gargano should go up. I don't think it's a good idea. I think he even knows it. That, like, once he goes up, that's not going to spell good news for him.
No, but staying in NXT forever also doesn't spell good news for him.
Maybe he's more comfortable. He's at home in Florida. He only has to go out once or twice a week. You know, you want to do that full-time schedule, you know, and like,
money,
I don't know.
Money. I know.
I'm sure he'll want to too, but I don't know. I just think it's a bad move based on what I've seen people coming up. Look at Keith Lee, right? He's kind of fucking floundering now. And he was like fucking the talk of the town. So
look at fucking, what's his name that we all like? The guy, the creepy dude that comes up.
Oh, Aleister Black, yeah. Apparently he's supposed to be potentially coming back soon. Like, he tweeted out something cryptic. I think Buddy Murphy challenged him at WrestleMania because he's trying to get his own match. Yeah, no, I think he went to business for himself there. Yeah. And Aleister Black's going into business for himself, too.
Hey, let's be honest. Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy would be great.
Yeah. They had a great match. Remember, they had a feud going on that. Like, they were having amazing matches week after week.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens there. But Gargano versus, I'm going to say we're both saying Lumis. You think Lumis takes it, and
anybody but Johnny. I'll go with Cameron Grimes or Dexter Lumis.
I just could see Lumis losing and then winning it on like an NXT weekly event, like shortly after. Because I'm looking at all these titles. Like, are all the titles going to change hands? Like, I guess
not. Why not? Well, I mean, they're not. They can't. No, because the triple threat match the night before for the NXT Tag Team Championship, that's going to award a new champion. Then we have Walter retaining. Io Shirai makes the change. Then Ember Moon retains. So Johnny Gargano could lose this.
All right. So Lumis it is.
Yeah.
Lumis it is. I kind of feel like Indy might play a part in this, but she's got her match earlier. So I kind of feel like maybe Lumis would lose and then have a rematch. And then Indy kind of gets involved because then she's fresh and she's involved in this match, right? It doesn't have a prior commitment.
Sure.
But we both want Lumis. Let's go with our heart on this one.
Yeah.
Let's go with Lumis. Cool. All right, moving on, guys. We got a ladder match. The one that, you know, Shawn Michaels came in, slipped a ladder and said, you got two champions. You want to determine who the real champion is? Climb a fucking ladder and pull the belt down and let us see who the real champion is. We got Jordan Devlin taking on Santos Esquire. And a lot of people are like, I don't know these guys. Don't care about these guys. I didn't know too much about Escobar, but every match I've seen of his, he's pretty fucking good, man. If you like Andrade, and I'm not saying he is Andrade, but like, He's the very, like, similar excitement kind of style. Like, he can do some pretty cool shit, you know?
Bro, you put cruiserweight and ladder match, and you have a guy like Shawn Michaels back in the matchup, I'm sold, man.
I like the fact that it's a one-on-one and not like tons of people. I was talking into this about to Mike on Chaos. It's like Chaos Theory Podcast. It's like usually you have all these people and they're like, you know, spot outside the ring, spot outside the ring. Yeah. This was like two people seeing what they can do with this ladder. And like, we don't get enough of these anymore, one-on-one ladder matches. And Devlin, I never really watched too much of him. Shawn Michaels, it's like super high on this guy. So is Triple H, I imagine. And then Escobar has been doing an amazing job. Because Devlin was out because of visa problems and because they were cooling him off because he kind of got a bit tied up in the whole Me Too thing that was happening.
Yeah, a little touchy-touchy.
So they let him cool off. Now he's back and we're going to be able to see what he can do. I know he can do some amazing things in the ring. So introduce a ladder. I think it's going to be an awesome match. So like a lot of people might sleep on this one, but this is probably going to be a fucking spectacular
match. Oh yeah, dude. And NXT, that's right, cruiserweights seem to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. Especially when it comes to like getting a good spot on a big pay-per-view. So these guys are going to go, man. They're going to fucking go. They're going to pull out all the stops. I'm really excited for this match.
Cool.
And if I have to pick a winner, I don't fucking know. Honestly, I couldn't pick a fucking winner. I'm going to go with just with Santos Escobar just because I think it would be cooler.
Cool. Awesome. Jordan Devlin was the NXT Cruiserweight Champion when he left. And I think there's a little bit of kind of like, you know, he wants to get that belt back. And I think the WWE is very eager to bring him over to the U.S. and have him be kind of a focal point in their cruiserweight division. So for that, I do feel like he is going to win. I also feel like Santos Escobar is such a good job as a heel, and he did such a good job as a champion. Obviously, it'd be good for him to retain that, but I don't think he needs to, and I don't think it hurts him as much to lose it. Because he can chase again. He can move on to other things. Remember, he faced Karrion Kross a couple weeks ago, too. So you could put him up against big guys at the same time, and he'll do. He can mingle with heavyweights as well. Nice. So there's a lot more you can do with him. They can create a bit more of a story. And I think Devlin, similar to Walter, is kind of here now. He's in the U.S., and he's going to be on NXT U.S. I believe that's kind of what I'm thinking. So, I'm going to go with Jordan Devlin on this one. I'm quite certain as well, too.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's go on to the singles match for the NXT Championship. Okay. We got Mr. Prince Finn Balor taking on Karrion Kross with Scarlett. Balor has had such a fucking run. He's been so good as NXT champion. Going back down to NXT is the best thing that could have ever happened to him. This is the best version of Balor we've seen. He's had amazing matches with whoever he's fought. Amazing battles with Kyle O'Reilly. Amazing battles with Pete Dunne. Just spectacular work. And he's had injuries and they've kept the belt on him. Yeah. He's had like reconstructive surgery on his face and they've kept the belt on him. He's come back fighting and looking for more. Like there's no time after you watch these matches where you're just like, oh my God, like, that guy fucking really like, it's a war, a battle. It's a battle. So seeing him going up against Kross, the build's up's been like, it's been all right. I mean, you saw Kross kind of take a face turn after he fought Escobar and they were on a tag team together. And then I think like Balor bumped into Scarlett or something. And then Kross is like, heel turn, you bumped into Scarlett. And it's like, come on, bro. That was lazy. But,
so Finn's the bad guy in this?
No, Kross is the bad guy. He got mad at Balor because he bumped into Scarlett. So it's like, all right, whatever. I like the fact that Kross is talking on the mic a lot more now instead of Scarlett doing all of it. I like them being a duo as opposed to him hiding behind her. He's actually decent on the mic, so he should be doing it. And I watched some of his matches. He's impressive. But again, man, I'm a little bit upset because I do feel like they're going to give the title to Kross. I feel like, look, man, they brought him back. He had the injury after Keith Lee. They took the belt off him. They had him do a few matches to see if he's going to be injured or how he would be. I think their ultimate goal was to put the belt on Kross anyways. I think Balor should win this. This should be like the ultimate achievement, like really putting a fucking exclamation mark on his run, being like, I even fucking took down Kross. And he earned it, and he deserves it. But yeah, I think it's going to be Kross. And I'm really kind of like, what are they going to do with Balor next? Kind of worried. But yeah, I'm going to go with Kross, man.
Any indication that Finn Balor is coming out as the demon?
No. And I think he even mentioned he's not going to come out as a demon, in fact.
Oh, damn.
Unless there's like a rematch where he tries the rematch for it or something. But yeah,
I could see it being a good idea if Finn Balor goes over and then couldn't say like my time in NXT has been proven, lays down the title and goes back to main card. And then NXT can have, you know, the next run of...
No, he's got to drop it. He's got to drop it. That's pussy wiggling.
Karrion Kross is winning.
Yeah.
No, that's shit. I hate Karrion Kross. Guy's a fucking loser.
I'm not super sold on him. Like, I don't know. It's like Nick McMahon almost coming in and being like, that really big guy with muscles, put the belt on him. You know, like, that's kind of what I feel like here. So, and then meanwhile, Balor's just fucking killed it over the past year. So, anyways.
I'm not excited for, I mean, Balor doesn't do it for me. I mean, I get it. I can respect it. That's fine. But he just doesn't do it for me. So, like, this is not my main event.
There's a reason why I saved one for last, right?
Yeah. This is not my main event.
Finn Balor's not my guy either. Like, I'm not even really a Finn Balor guy, but like his matches have been fucking awesome that he's had. So I can't deny it.
Yeah, whatever. I guess. All right, Karrion Kross. Right. Fuck it.
Let's go into our main event. And which led us into the whole thing to begin with.
That's right.
When we played the Undisputed Era music. Here we are. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. Dude, I'm so excited for this one. And it just gets better and better every week. The promo they cut during the contract signing was great last week. They talked about Ring of Honor. This past week, they did a music or a video montage, which I imagine they're going to play again. You're going to like this one. Really good. They had footage from New Japan. They had footage from Ring of Honor, which is really cool. And WWE actually digs up that stuff and uses it in a package. You know they're investing in it.
Oh, yeah.
So, a lot of cool stuff here to expect. Dude, like, Cole's great, man, when he cuts, like, a really vicious promo. And Kyle O'Reilly, like, the underdog. Like, oh, it's been fantastic. Cool Kyle is cool in my books.
Dude,
I'm so excited. This is my main event. This is what I'm looking forward to. And it's an unsanctioned match. And Regal saying, you know, don't hold us accountable for whatever happens to any of you guys, all that shit. They're kind of treating it as an AW dark match or one of those, like lights out matches, right? So I don't know where on the card this is going to be, but to me, this is the true main event. And I think Kyle O'Reilly's had a hell of a year emerging as a single competitor because he got pegged into being a tag team competitor when that wasn't the case at all in the indie scene. And, you know, he went up against Balor twice in great matches. You know, he really laid his health on the line because he got his ass kicked. He legit got injured. And here he is taking on Adam Cole. I honestly think this is going to be Adam Cole making Riley look like $1 million.
Is the passing of the torch, man.
I don't think Kyle O'Reilly needs Adam Cole to make him look like $1 million, but I think Adam Cole is happy, proud, with a tear in his eye, happy to go out there and help his friend, Kyle O'Reilly, break a kayfabe, guys. Look, he's going to get the win, man, and this is going to be a huge, huge fucking moment for Kyle O'Reilly. Unless there's some funny business where, like, Roderick Strong comes out or Bobby Fish, and, like, they all turn on Kyle O'Reilly, which could draw super heat and then give Kyle O'Reilly that eventual win, you know? It's a more of a chase. Because they are teasing Roderick Strong, like, being tormented and not knowing what to do. So that's all I'm saying. But they better fucking not. However, I don't think Roddy's in a match at all anywhere on the card.
Roddy could help Kyle here.
Yeah. I don't want that to happen either,
want that either. Actually, I want Roddy to help Adam. And then Kyle still wins.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool to do.
To me, dude, this is the period at the end of the sentence.
You need to have Kyle win this match.
This can't be the start of something else or the continuation. This needs to be Kyle O'Reilly officially being the next big singles competitor in the NXT Championship race. Adam Cole's got to go to main roster.
Yeah, I think that's a good time for him to go to main roster. That's for sure. And I'm curious. I'm very curious. This week coming up on night two on Thursday, when they come out to the ring, what theme music will Adam Cole come out to? Because we've not seen him wrestle since the Undisputed Era broke up, I believe. And I'm very curious to see if he uses the Undisputed theme song or if he has his own or something like that. Or a version of it or something.
He needs his own. I mean, he's got to distance himself from it because it's got to be something that could all eventually come back to. He can't be like Roman Reigns style.
I miss that
still
theme,
has
though.
That
but I agree with you. I agree with you as much as I miss
But
the
how
theme.
Good is that? Gonna be when it's back.
So. I know, but maybe they'll do some variation like X-Pac, right, or some shit like that.
Yeah, but even then, it's not. It won't be as good of a pop when it comes back if we're used to Adam Cole's variation coming out.
It's funny. I was talking to you about Cameron Grimes wanting to get the intellectual property of the Undisputed Era, so he's continuing this kind of feud with Roderick Strong, where like he wants to buy the property and they're feuding and shit. And he came out with like a T-shirt and he's like, look. Look, Roddy, I got ideas already for merchandise. And he's like showing a shirt. I think it said like Grimes the System. And then he's like, oh, you don't like that? Okay. Well, I got a new entrance theme. And it's like Grimes the System. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. But it's like, it was fucking funny, man.
Grimes should just use the music.
Yeah. And have him use it for the next year. That's good shit. All right, guys. There you go. There you have it, man. Those are our predictions. Those are two nights of NXT TakeOver. I gave you mine. G-Bomb agreed with me for the most part, but he gave some good feedback in there as well, too.
Hell yeah.
I'm proud of you, boy.
I'm just looking forward to it because, like, I only watch pay-per-view to pay-per-view now. It's just too much to keep up with, man. And it's too toxic.
I just stay off social media, and I kind of just, on a Monday night or a Wednesday night or a Friday night, like, I'll just kind of, like, have it on TV while I'm doing stuff and, like, kind of catch it that way and, you know, catch up on some extra stuff that, like, were really cool. I might go back on the internet and check it out. But yeah, I get you, man. But again, we've got NXT TakeOver coming up. Next week, we'll be giving our WrestleMania predictions as well.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of excitement coming up. So let's take a break.
Yep.
And then we get back to it. We'll go over some other topics and news before we wrap things up.
All right. We'll be right back, guys.
The following announcement has been paid for by Boot to the Face. What's up, Talkamaniacs? Do you enjoy quality wrestling talk? Raw, AEW, NXT, SmackDown, and pay-per-view prediction and review shows mixed with a lot of whiskey and a whole lot of profanity? Are you tired of the smarky podcasts and you just want to hear fans talk about wrestling that don't want to take it too seriously? Then come find us at Boot to the Face on Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. We're Santana Garrett's favorite podcast. That's Boot to the Face with the number 2, as in sweet.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Episode 193, the NXT TakeOver predictions in the bank. We're doing things a little bit differently. Usually we end off with predictions, but I wanted to start off with them. But question before we get into some more wrestling, are you watching Big Brother Canada?
I haven't since the last time we talked about it. Is it good? Getting good?
What episode are you at?
Like 3 or 4, bro. I think the last one I watched, the last one I watched, Josh got eliminated. The greasy guy. Very greasy. I think his name was Josh. Yeah, he was like super greasy and like trying to get in people's head.
Vocal fry.
Yeah. He's like super slimy.
You saw him leave?
I saw him leave and be like, I'm the in your head, bitches, or blow up the house, bitches, or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't watch the next episode?
I don't know if I know who the head of household is yet. No. Okay.
Well, the next
episode. I'm behind like 5 or 6 episodes, man.
The next episode to present is fucking incredible.
Okay, so it's a good season so far?
It is cool. So good. Cool. Yeah, very early.
Do you agree with Austin and who she looks like a little bit? You
see my God, yeah. She's like a hot fove.
Yeah, you see it now, eh?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm 100%. Like, no, but then sometimes I see like facial movements. I'm like, oh yeah, 100%, you know? Like,
she also reminds me of another player that was on a few years back.
I feel like she's a combination of a fove and somebody else. I'm like, I just can't figure out what it is, though. I'm still trying to figure it out.
She kind of looks like Brie Bella from the side. Think of it next time you see her. She kind of looks like Brie Bella. But I really like Austin. Put it that way.
Cool.
I really do.
Cool. Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'll binge a little bit this weekend, you know? Yeah. So
after the show, I'm going to go catch up. I'm like 3 episodes back. I'm going to go catch up after the show. It's cool. Honestly, Big Brother Canada, so much better than Big Brother US.
I just didn't like when they were like, the brick.
Yeah.
Which is, guys, so I don't know if they have it in the US, but it's like a furniture store. But it was like everything was brought to you by the brick. The whole show is funded by the brick, pretty much.
Well, now it's Sun Life or Sunlight and Expedia.
And Wendy's.
And right? Wendy's, yeah. But come on, man. It's Canada. They don't have the viewership. They need sponsors to make this happen.
Speaking of Expedia, and here I'm going to throw my manism out the window here. My wife's been on maternity. And you know, she's worried about the economy, travel industry, and you know, because what's going to happen when she goes back to work at Expedia? Is there going to be a place for her? Will she be laid off? She had her sit down with her manager, kind of like her manager, like, look, can I chat with you? And she's like, oh fuck, God. Right? So I talked to her, and they're like, yeah, so we're giving you these stock options, which are already worth like I think $4,000 or $5,000, and they gave her a $9,000 raise.
What the fuck? That's great news.
Dude, she makes pretty much the same amount of money as me now.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I only out-tip her with like my stock options at work. Otherwise, it's like...
Wait, you feel like less of a man?
I'm super happy he helps our household out. But there's that small part of you as a man.
Oh, come
on. Damn. But no, I'm very proud of her. And she works very, very, very hard. So, you know, it's a bonus for her. Bonus for us as a family as well, too.
Fuck, I wish my wife made more money than me.
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's good. It's good. So we do feel secure about her going back to work. It obviously gives her motivation to go back to work.
That's huge. That's awesome. That's great news.
Yeah. But now we're going back to, now she's trying to find like daycares and stuff. Like she works really hard as a mother. Like I'm going to shout out like props to you. I mean, amazing partner, amazing mother. You know, a lot of our wives are, right? So, like, anyways, we're trying to get her into a daycare, and that's what we've been focusing on. Yeah.
Get ready to get sick all the time.
I know.
You're going to be sick all the
time. I haven't been sick
time.
In years, so.
You're going to be sick all the time. Ha-ha.
Damn.
You're going to have COVID.
Damn.
You're going to get it. You're going to get the vid.
All right, guys, let's get into some wrestling talk. What else is going on around? Some notes that I threw together, some things I want to talk about. So we'll get into that a little bit before we wrap things up today.
Let's do it.
One big thing. I know J-Bum doesn't watch a lot of it, but maybe catch it on social media. If he doesn't, it's fun because sometimes this is news to him. But I know he knows this one happened. The Hurt Business. C'est fini.
I know. What the fuck?
They broke up the Hurt Business.
Was the breakup like, was it a pop worthy? Was it a payoff or was it like, oh no, what are you doing?
Kind of that. So I guess just kind of painted as like, there was like a handicap match. I think Drew McIntyre versus Cedric and Shelton, and Drew won. So they were kind of like, you face him and you guys couldn't even get it done. Like, you're not useful to me. And now you're banned at ringside. And like, you know, you guys are making us look bad and you dropped the tag team title. So I kind of like, they tried their best with it, but I definitely feel it was way too early. I felt the Hurt Business was such a good thing. Everybody loves it. You go on social media, they're always talking about how much they love it. Keep the pulse on things, WWE. And then people were so upset when they broke up. Even wrestlers, like Lance Storm is like, what the fuck, guys? You know, like, everyone's kind of saying that they're unhappy about it. You could have done so much with this group. And then, you know what happened to end off the night? So you had Drew McIntyre in a match with Ricochet, which they did a really, really bad job at hyping up because that could have been a fucking program in itself. Mm-hmm. Then beating Ali, Bobby Lashley ends up kind of coming down. And you know who attacks Drew McIntyre? And it looks like he's on Raw now and he's going with Bobby Lashley or I don't know. Fucking Corbin. So they break up the Hurt Business and they're putting Corbin with Lashley or they have Corbin in there. I don't know if it's him just trying to collect the bounty, but like, really?
There's a bounty out?
Yeah, Lashley put a bounty out. And that's kind of what where this whole thing happened. It's like, I want whoever can beat the shit and take Drew out of WrestleMania, I will give you the title match at WrestleMania.
Oh, cool.
Right. So it's kind of cool, but I also think they're making Bobby Lashley look like a bitch. He doesn't want to face off.
Yeah, but he's a heel.
I know, but you can still have him a heel and be like, look, Brock Lesnar wouldn't do that. Right? He wouldn't. So, like, I feel like they should have these two behemoths going at it. Like, these guys should not be afraid of each other. Lashley should not be afraid to face Drew. He shouldn't be like, Ricochet, go out there and then I'll face you. You know, like, it shouldn't be that way. I want to see two guys really go at it. They're making me feel like he is like the weak, scared champion who might lose the title. I want him going in there and me not knowing or being like, fuck, man. Like, either man could take this. I want to see who the biggest, baddest warrior is. I'm not getting that feel. A week or two ago, it looked like Lashley was going to turn face. Like, oh, I don't want you guys here. I want to do this on my own. But then they completely 360'd, and now they're kind of making him look like a heel. Well, he is a heel. And Corbin didn't get the job done. So I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. But they'll break up the Hurt Business only to have Corbin come over to Raw and just be with Bob. Like, no.
Okay, hold on. That's a lot to unpack. Baron Corbin's cool. I like him. Like, I don't hate this guy. I still think he's got WWE champion written all over him. It's still gonna happen. And I'm looking forward to it happening. Now, if they broke up the Hurt Business and Bobby Lashley loses the title to Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, which is my prediction. I'll tell you right now, that's what's going to happen.
Looks like it.
That means there's no Hurt Business and Bobby Lashley. It's like you're eliminating the last year of amazing build of the Hurt Business and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
And that's brutal. Because one that thing puts Bobby right at the bottom. It puts him right at the bottom.
One thing I thought that could be pretty cool, I don't think it'd be pretty cool. Well, yeah, it kind of would be. Just feel bad for Drew. Is with this whole bounty thing, right? Like, oh, if you take out Drew, I'll give you a match at WrestleMania. Fuck. Imagine Brock Lesnar comes out, destroys fucking Drew McIntyre, and then it's Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Like,
take
that would
money.
Be pretty cool.
I'm fucking in. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
You got a feel
for
Drew McIntyre, but
whatever,
like, man.
Fuck him. That's a good match. I want that.
But how much baby, like, he'd be so, like, primed as well, Drew McIntyre, to be like, oh my god, we feel so sorry for him, that they could actually use that in his benefit. So like, there's a lot of wins coming out of that, but like, fuck, imagine.
Whoa.
Hold on. Let's say that were to happen. Let's fantasy book. If that were to happen, first of all, the world would explode of people being pissed at Brock Lesnar's back. Brock Lesnar would beat Bobby Lashley, right?
Yes.
He would be the champion.
Yeah.
Championship is like, it's ransomed again. It's stolen. It's kidnapped. Then you have the whole story of Drew versus Brock to get it back. And then you get Drew versus Brock in front of people at like SummerSlam or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Because I hear they're going back to like Thunderdome until SummerSlam. So
that would be good. I'm so in for this. I'm so fucking in for that.
They have taped Raw, I believe, because Raw next week is taped because they want to have everything ready. Less time to, they have more time to focus on the production of WrestleMania.
Wait, what?
Raw's been taped next week.
Oh, okay. Not the Raw after Mania.
No. Raw, this last Raw has been taped.
Who cares? Raw before Mania sucks. It's like, they're like, ah, we used all of our cool stuff. Filler.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Hurt Business breaks up. A lot of us are sad, kind of stupid. They're not making Lashley look strong. So again, guys, I know you're super happy with Lashley having the WWE title. I just feel they're priming him up for Drew McIntyre to get that, like, thank you, Drew, for the hard work you put in this year. We're going to give you your fans cheering for you winning the championship. And then that's it. You're not getting this next year, Drew. We've given you 2 years.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's going to go. We'll talk about our predictions in WrestleMania next week. Maybe my mind will change after Raw. Maybe Drew McIntyre won't even be in the match. Maybe it will be Brock Lesnar, or maybe it'll be Dink. Who knows? You know?
Maybe Baron Corbin versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh, my God. Okay, we got Daniel Bryan officially entering the three-way, or he's officially entering the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania. A lot of people were pissed about this. I was talking to Chaos about this as well. He's not a big fan of this. Look, the way I look at it was, I wasn't that invested in Roman Reigns versus Edge anyways.
Who cares?
Do you legit feel like Edge has a chance of beating Roman Reigns one-on-one? He was not going to. Now there's question marks. Because stuff could happen. Funny stuff could happen. We don't know.
He can get the title off of Roman without any blood on his hands.
Yes. I don't think they will. I think Roman carries this maybe even to next WrestleMania, and I think he should. But look, man, Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns at Fastlane was good. And Daniel Bryan's he's going to make this match better in hindsight. Like, I know you guys are pissed about this. You know, why Royal Rumble? How can he be thrown into this match? Not the first time this has happened anyways. And at the same time,
Charlotte.
Daniel Bryan will make this good. He will make this good. And I think it'll be more enjoyable having Daniel Bryan in there. And now Edge is kind of a tweener. He's pissed. He's mad at Daniel Bryan. How fucking dare you come in here and, you know, interfere in my plans on taking Roman Reigns out one-on-one, right? He's kind of a tweener. He's showing signs of being a heel. And rumor is that McMahon wanted Daniel Bryan in there. Well, A, because they're high on Daniel Bryan. But also, they've been thinking that Edge is looking older and older every week. And
he's got like the old rugged look. It works for him.
But it's looking scrappier every week. I think he's just scrappy Coco.
Come on. Look, what's really cool about this is I watched Roman Reigns talking on TMZ Sports. And this match, there's a lot of... I can't wait to see the 24/7 and the 365 or whatever about this. Dude, you got Edge, who came back from injury. Daniel Bryan, who came back from injury. And you got Roman Reigns, who came back from leukemia. And the three of them are going to be showcased.
That's awesome, yeah.
For the first match back with fans, or the first big event back with fans. I mean, that's... when you talk about dream matches, I'll agree. This is a fucking dream match for me. I was not excited at all about...
Right, I'm more invested in it now with Daniel Bryan.
I'm way more invested in it now.
I like Daniel Bryan, man. Like, I don't know. He's like a guy who I shouldn't like, but I kind of like him. I think he's funny.
Because
He's good in the mic, and he makes matches more entertaining. He tells stories. He tells stories in his matches. Like,
his face says a million words. His looks are great. His montages are good. He's married to a Bella. he's a great dude. I fucking love the guy. And honestly, it puts that sliver of doubt that Roman Reigns could lose this match.
Yeah, because there's no way I was believing it before. There's no way. And I think, honestly, it would have hurt Edge, because Edge is going to lose clean one-on-one. Now you can do a little bit of asterisk beside it, like footnote. Yeah. Well, you know, so we'll see what happens. All right. We got the contract signing this week. I'm not a fan of these contract signings, and I'm not a fan of this one. I don't think it was great. Ripley signed the contract with Asuka. And Asuka kind of talking smack and saying, like, Ripley, you're confident, but the confidence is all in your head, and you know, you're not ready. She's doing a lot more English promos, and it's been better, which is good. And then Ripley threw the table up and hit Asuka in the face. And then Asuka sold it like she was shot. Like she's just down for like 5 minutes, not moving. It was kind of ridiculous because I've seen this woman get beaten up by men in Japan and get right back up. And this is kind of silly. They're making Ripley look really strong. So that kind of makes me worried. And then you have the tag team champions come out. And they are like, oh, you know, like, Ripley, what are you doing coming out here and thinking you can challenge for the championship? So next week on Raw, the go-home show, they're going to have Ripley and Asuka tag team to see if they can coexist. Oh, and I'm like, fuck, that's lazy, man. They did that like a month ago or something with like coexist. Charlotte and Asuka or something. I don't know, they did it like a month ago. I forget who, but they've done it a bunch of times, right? Like, can they coexist heading into WrestleMania or heading into the pay-per-view? Can they coexist? And it's like, bro,
why do you need to coexist if they're going to fight each other?
Like, I don't know. I just think that's super stupid. And then, look, no Charlotte. Charlotte did not come out to say, hey, I'm interjecting myself in this match. We have 1 week to go. So who knows? You know, Charlotte is known to get thrown into these matches. She doesn't have a match in the card right now. But wow. Have you been following any of the Charlotte news? Do you know about what's going on behind the scenes a little bit?
I know that during the interview with Andrade, she was popping in and out of the background in the apartment. So, I mean, that's pretty much as far as it goes. I heard Andrade was getting paid big money.
Yeah, he claims that. But then, like, a bunch of people came out and was like, there's no way he's making that much money. Unless he says, like, $3 million over 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, he's like, he knows there's no way. There's no way he was making, even if you're a main event guy, it's hard to make that money sometimes. So
I think he's just,
I think he's being arrogant, or he's just saying like $3 million was his contract. So he's like, I made $3 million, but it means just, yeah. But you know what, fuck, saying catering, it's pretty good. But Andrade's fucking awesome. Shame they couldn't do anything with him. Shame when they got rid of Zelina Vega. He was a casualty eventually as well. But no, I'm going to give you some more context.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The whole pregnancy thing.
Yeah, so it kind of is like, it drags along and it kind of shows you how broken telephone can work because Andrade got his release, but right before that, Charlotte kind of came out and said, I challenge Asuka at WrestleMania, and then disappeared. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like, oh, Charlotte kind of gave them an ultimatum and said, hey, you know, give him his release and make it no 90-day compete clause. We can go immediately or else I'm not going to wrestle at WrestleMania, which I'm like, fuck that. There's no way she hold them ransom. Like, WWE would not put up with that shit. I know Charlotte is like their girl and she's like money, but WWE is bigger than anybody and they always want to make that known, and they would be like, fuck you.
She'd be gone in a second.
And if anything, maybe that's why she's not being booked right now at WrestleMania. But anyway, it turns out she had COVID. Okay, so we found that out. And then she was on the mend, but she's back. She's ready. She was backstage at Raw, I was hearing. And ready to go. But then they talked about the whole pregnancy thing, right? So WWE contacted her and said, we're pulling you off of WrestleMania for now because you tested, your levels were high, your hormone levels, and it seems like you're pregnant. And she's like, well, there's no way I'm pregnant. So she went, took a bunch of tests. They were negative. WWE did a bunch of tests. Took a while for the results to come back. She was negative. But at this point, Asuka and Ripley are happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte, you know, a bit arrogant, a bit entitled at this point in her career, I think even in real life. She basically, looks like she's out of the WrestleMania picture, and she basically corrected, Andrade. And it's funny because Charlotte's PR team came out and spoke on Charlotte's behalf. So Charlotte has her own PR team now. That's how big she is.
Of course.
And, basically said like, look, you know, to give some context, to what Manny said, it's Andrade. He basically, the WWE said I was pregnant. And what she was upset with the time it took. First of all, they pulled her from WrestleMania. And then for them to do the test again and get the results, it took a long time. And she's frustrated because as a woman, your window in the WWE is smaller than a man's.
Yeah, of course.
Because as a woman, you know, first of all, when you're in your 40s, you're old. You're old.
You're
when a man can go into his 50s plus. And, you know, you got to have kids and all that stuff. So I agree. But she kind of came off very pissed at the WWE. So I could see them being like, oh, yeah? Okay. No WrestleMania for you. You know, and because they'll
but you know what, WWE is a loser if they don't book her for us.
Yes, I agree with you. They're petty though; they might do that. So again,
because Charlotte, if Charlotte goes to AEW, okay, if Charlotte goes anywhere, and you know Charlotte would 100% be in AEW, Flair would be in AEW, Andrade would be in AEW, Charlotte would pull people to AEW. She's got a lot of fucking pull backstage. It would be huge for AEW. And I could just see Cody smiling at the camera when Charlotte walks out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it
could
honestly
happen, man. Remember,
if Charlotte went to AEW, it would be like Hogan going to WCW.
Yes. WWE, WCW. Remember? Like, the history could be repeat itself. I imagine we'll see some big names eventually make their way over in the long term.
Because, you know, AEW is pulling guys like Rusev. Their big reveal was fucking Christian. Like, let's be honest. It's kind of like how WCW had Macho Man. They had these guys that were almost superstars. But when Hogan went over, it was done. So if they could pull a Charlotte out of this situation, I know it's never going to happen because WWE would never let it get to that point. But if Charlotte were to ever show up in AEW, I'm telling you, that would be the tipping point to the true AEW-WWE war. And yeah. I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it.
It definitely would make things interesting.
Oh, my God. That would be so good.
And it's funny you talk about Christian, too, because, like, I watched, like, the opening of both shows, right? And I'm like, oh, Christian, like, Frankie Kazarian, awesome. I want to see Christian. I was a fan. I want to watch his match. And on the other side, we had NXT with Cameron Grimes versus Roderick Strong. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Fuck it. I'll watch Christian. And I don't want to shit on Christian because I'm a huge fan, but it was a Christian match. Like, it was...
Who gives a shit about
Christian? Kind of slow paced. It was so-so. The match was okay. I mean, it's good to see him there for nostalgic sake, for nostalgia. But then I started watching Cameron Grimes and Roderick Strong, and they fucking tore down. The match was great. The intensity, the speed in which they wrestled,
well,
man.
Younger.
Roderick Strong, again, like we said, you watch him, you're like, eh, he's going to be boring, but his matches are always good. And Cameron Grimes was good too, man. It was... They had me. The first opening match NXT won for me.
AEW has made two huge mistakes. One, guys, don't leave. We have a huge announcement at the end of this. It's going to change the scope of pro wrestling. Okay, Pac is back. All right? 4'8" Pac is back. Pac is sick, but he's not a showstopper. Guys, this announcement, this one, we're going to put it on our flagship show for the year. It's going to be the biggest signing. It's Christian.
I was texting you yesterday too. Like, I enjoyed AEW last night. I got no problem. I'm not kind of crapping the show when I say this, but they're bringing on so much talent, like so much talent. The roster is just massive now. That what they do to get around that and get people TV time is all these factions.
Yeah,
and there's so many fucking factions. We saw Cody versus QT Marshall. The story's been interesting. But then Cody's Nightmare Factory training team, or the testers, the wrestlers that are in the, I work in the gaming industry, guys. I say testers 100 times a day. they basically joined QT Marshall, beat up the Nightmare family. So now, guys, we have another faction, and our friend Nuclear Convoy, our buddy James, we grew up with, tweeted out about all the factions, right? So Hardy Family Office, we got the Pinnacle, the Inner Circle, Team Taz, Nightmare Family, Dark Order, QT Misfits, Death Triangle, Bullet Club, Gun Club, Jurassic Express, Best Friends. I might be missing some there, guys, but fuck.
We're 12.
Fuck. It just seems like there's always lots of people out at one time in groups and chaos, and it's fun and crazy, but like, wow.
Have you guys not watched the Monday Night Wars and seen the downfall of WCW? Guys, I like AEW, I really do. It's, it's weird because I didn't like WWE because it was hard to watch week to week because it was kind of the same old thing over and over. But now that I've become a pay-per-view kind of guy for WWE, it's really nice because I can jump back into the pay-per-view, watch the pre-show, watch all the pre-taped packages, and completely catch up.
Right.
So I could jump into this at any point. It's not like Game of Thrones in season 4, where I have no idea what's going on. I got to go watch hours of content to figure it out. Then AEW came out and it was like, wow, this is a really like all the storylines are really interesting. But now they're so fucking diverse and so all over the place that it's too much to catch up with. And like, I'm never going to watch AEW Dark. And if they come out with a second flagship show, I'm never watching that. I'm never watching another episode of Being the Elite. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then like their pay-per-views suck. Like, they suck.
AW, they had one that was so-so. No,
when's the last good one? When's the last one where you were like...
I can't remember I had for breakfast, so like, don't ask me that.
Okay, their last good one, in my opinion, was like Double or Nothing, like not this year, but the year before.
They got some good things going on. I'm going to give a shout-out to Tay Conti. I wasn't a big fan of hers in NXT. I thought she had a bad attitude. She felt entitled. Like, why am I in the spotlight right when I started working with NXT? I want out of my contract. But she's humbled a lot, and she's been putting in the work, and she's been a very impressive athlete for AEW. I think she's going to be a big part of their women's division. She's looked great, and she's gorgeous. She's a very good-looking girl. But her work in the ring as well, too. I don't want to, you know, make her an object. That's not what I was trying to do. I can just say she's also, you know, a treat to look at. But very good in the ring. And Kat Statlander's back, man. Boop.
Yeah.
I love that little alien. She comes back during the main event. It was Rusev and Kip against Orange Cassidy and the best friend dude. And, you know, there was an arcade anarchy match. So all kinds of, like, arcade machines were set up. It was very gimmicky. They had this board of, like, prizes you could win that they use as weapons. It was kind of fun, though. It was kind of cool. It was a good main event. The best friends reunited. The mom came with her van. Statlander was there. She slammed that glass into the face of his wife. Penelope is the wife, or is I mixing them up now? I don't know.
I think
Penelope Ford. I don't know if that's the other one I might be mixing up. I don't know. Anyways, but either way, really cool to see her back. She's going to spark the women's division. I'm telling you guys, women's division is heating up. A lot of people are pissed off that Britt Baker's not going into the title picture, yet Britt's cutting a promo saying her feud with Thunder is not over. People might be like, fuck already.
Thunder Rosa's tweet to her was fucking brutal.
Which one is this?
The one where she was like, the match of my career is NWA this thing, the match of your career is being in a bloody pool of your own mess and losing to me.
Oh, fuck, snap. I like that. So, like,
Britt Baker not being in the title picture is the best thing for
Britt Baker. This is guys aren't used to it, and that's why. This is a long plan storyline. This is great. She'll get this reign, and it'll be amazing.
She'll get it as a face.
No, I don't think so. She needs a heel, and it's going to be... you know what? She'll probably turn face eventually because fans are going to want her to have that title.
She's going to... Exactly. And she's going to turn when the fans are like, when is Britt's time? We love her so much as a heel. Put her over. She's going to go over as a face. She's going to win. She'll have a face run later in her career, but her first one will be as a face.
Yeah, she'll have a heel run later on, yeah.
Exactly.
But it looks like she's going to extend the feud with Thunder. Got to be wary. They're trying to maybe capture lightning in a bottle twice. I don't know. But either way, Britt Baker solid as well, too. Went over the whole discussion in that match. Like, was a great match, but would it have been the same if the blood and tax weren't in it? Guys, fantastic match. Don't tell me it was the greatest women's match of all time. That's all. I don't want to hear that shit.
We all know that's Becky and Charlotte. Last woman standing.
Well, I don't even remember that. I mean, like, I don't
remember
what I had.
What? At Evolution. It was like one of the greatest.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I mean, then you have Bayley and Sasha at Brooklyn. I mean, like, I don't know. You know, like, I'm so bad at thinking back and remembering matches.
Those are the two that stand out for me.
I'll go back and watch that. I'm excited now. It's very good. What else we got? Okay, dude. One thing you should probably go back and watch, which was pretty interesting, was the Pinnacle. So the Pinnacle has taken over the Inner Circle's locker room. MJF's in there this week with a stylist saying, hey guys, look at all these colors. We want to, like, you know, make sure we sprue things up, and we're going to have an interior decorator, and finally we'll be able to get rid of the stink in the bathroom. And he opens the bathroom.
Yeah, I saw that.
And inside of it is the Inner Circle. And he's like, oh guys, we got to go. And he goes out the other door and Hager's right there, and they just get their asses fucking destroyed, like destroyed. And at one point, Jericho's swinging around something. I couldn't catch what it was. It looked like the lid of something. And he catches the back of one of FTR's heads and he goes, oh shit, or oh fuck, or something. You hear it and they censor it. And then the next scene, all you see is that guy's head just gushing blood.
Oh, really?
And he tweeted out a photo of him getting, like, staples or stitches, like actual video of the guy sewing. It's kind of gross. Nasty. But that guy was gushing blood. They threw one of them into, like, the ice bath. Tully Blanchard even got his ass kicked. Sammy Guevara beat the shit out of...
I like Sammy back in the circle.
Sammy Guevara, yeah, he's back in the Inner Circle. He beat the shit out of Sean Spears, slammed his head in a door. Hager powerbombed Wardlow through a massage table. Like, it was good.
They're gonna do the War Games. It's, I mean, come on.
Cherry on top. Right before Jericho takes MJF and gives him a fucking swirly, puts his head in the toilet, yes! MJF gets up, spits out water, which is fucking hilarious. And then right before Jericho throws his head through the Pepsi fridge, he goes, "The best is, or the worst is yet to come." And then throws his head, which for a lot of people or those who didn't catch it, that's a shout out to an old segment he did with Shawn Michaels. When he slammed Shawn Michaels' head through the TV monitor, he grabbed him by the hair and said, "The worst is yet to come." So I thought that was a pretty cool callback.
Nice.
The whole segment was great. Jericho always, I don't know, man. I'm like, you know, Jericho, I was like, man, you can't keep up. And I'm like, he was so awesome in that segment.
Jericho's just, I know I've shit talked him a lot. I feel like he's run his course with Inner Circle as being a heel. So if he's going to the face Jericho in Inner Circle, I'm down for it. So let's see what he could do.
Cool. I think that's it for the NXT. One or two more things on WWE. I don't know if you caught this, but Matt Riddle was the butt of a lot of jokes this past week. So he's been going around. I don't know if you've seen his promos.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. It's great.
So he goes backstage and he's just like, "Hey, I got an idea, man. Like, donuts, but you close them and there's no holes, or the holes and donuts." Like, he kind of comes up with these weird ideas. I just slaughtered that, sorry guys, but he did have an idea about donuts. I just don't remember what it was. And he goes to people and tries to sell them on their ideas, and he scoots up to Asuka and he's like, "Hey, Asuka," and he's like, "Oh, hi Matt, hi." And she's laughing over there, and Asuka's Riddle's like, "You think scooters are big in Japan? They got these in Japan." And she's like, yeah, and he's like, I don't know what I was saying. And he kind of just like walks off, like clearly forgetting his lines and just saying, "Fuck it." And just walking off, leaving Asuka.
Oh, he totally fucked it up?
Well, watch and judge for yourself, because 100% that's what it looked like, okay? And Asuka kind of left there like hanging, like, okay. But Asuka can play it off well because she's, you know, she's awkward herself. And they had Riddle later on a Raw Talk. And he goes and sits next to MVP, and MVP's great. MVP is basically like talking to Riddle, and while he's talking to Riddle, he's like, I forgot what I was going to say. And then Riddle's like, "That'll happen, man. That'll happen." And then today for April Fool's, Sheamus has the scooter, and he's backstage, and he scoots up to Asuka and repeats the same thing. It's fucking great. And a lot of people
are all ribbing him for forgetting his lines.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Right. Oh, and he's so like, good. He even said like, "Fair play, fella," you know, and he's owning it. But here's the thing. Like, people are saying, like, if he really fucked up his line and walked off, McMahon would be fucking livid. And they wouldn't have him on Raw Talk afterwards. So they feel like that was just part of his character, him just being a space cadet and forgetting. Or they thought it was funny enough to say, "Fuck it, leave it in." I don't know if you saw the original, Jay. Go watch it. It's fucking funny. He just is like...
I saw the Sheamus one, and I didn't really understand what it was all
it's
about.
It's almost like he thought it was, like, pre-taped, you know, and he could do another take, but he just kind of was like, "Oh, I forgot what I was going to say," and took off, and then Asuka's just like, "What, dude?"
Well, look, if Vince likes the guy, then he's going to get away with murder. If Vince found it funny.
Dude, it was funny, and I know a lot of people...
He's going to overplay it to his death.
So many people hate this Riddle thing, and I get it. I get the people that hate it. I find it funny. I mean, I smoke weed, so I kind of get the humor, or I did a lot more when I was younger.
Bro, if you liked RVD, you got to like Matt Riddle.
Yeah, you got to think something's happening at WrestleMania with those two, right? RVD's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
They should just... Dude, it should just be like he opens a door, and RVD's like... There's like smoke coming out, and he's like, dude... And then he just walks in and closes the door. That's all they need to do.
You know what they could do safely? Because RVD's in the Hall of Fame. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. It doesn't matter. We see it on social media. He's grabbing titties, you know, and all that stuff on social media.
He's living his best life.
Yeah, he's living his best life now that he left his wife. And, sorry, I don't want to. Whatever, guys. It didn't look like he was happy. I'm happy. We're happy. Whatever.
Slipped there.
Yeah. And, sorry, Toto. And, you know, they could do, without even harming Riddle directly, have RVD like come out of a room with smoke coming, but on a scooter. And then you know it was Riddle, right? But you don't know, you know? Like, that could be fun.
Yeah, I'm so down for that.
I want to say, I want to give a Xia Li appreciation this week, because when I watch her on TV, my jaws drop to the floor, and I'm just like, I'm in love. Like, I just want to say.
Jaw drops, boner up.
Xia Li, man, just such a heart. Like, I respect so much how hard she works in the gym, and like, again, me and Rucker, Instagram, like, you know, oh, come on, man. Follow her if you don't. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Burn the history.
One stupid thing that we can close off on is usually at WrestleMania, We got the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. That's actually happening on SmackDown this week.
I'm cool with it.
They're having a WrestleMania edition SmackDown where we have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial. We're also having the SmackDown tag team titles being defended as like a WrestleMania match. So okay. SmackDown titles aren't making the WrestleMania card. A lot of people are blowing stink about that. And then a lot of people are blowing stink about the AJ Styles match. No, that'll be at WrestleMania.
Okay.
So
who's the SmackDown champions?
Yeah, SmackDown champions are Ziggler and Bobby Roode. They're called the Dirty Dogs.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah, So we'll see what happens there. And if you look at the Battle Royale, it's kind of stacked with jobbers. A lot of like people who like you don't think are going to win. So I have to think the two people that stand out to me to win this year, three actually, Ali. But with his work for Retribution, but the rest of Retribution's in there, so I know they're going to kick his ass and throw him out.
Oh, yeah.
Jey Uso. I mean, come on. That guy's had a fucking great year as a single star. I think he might deserve it, if anything. But then again, you know who I think should win it? Fucking better. I can't believe this is what he's doing for WrestleMania. Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, why is this his match at WrestleMania, guys? Like, you really fucking missed the boat. Especially when he did that gauntlet match where he fucking should have faced off against Roman Reigns until that whole Adam Pearce shit happened. And then Adam Pearce puts in Kevin Owens again. Great match. I love Kevin Owens. I love Roman Reigns. The shit they do. But Nakamura, man, they turn him a face, and all of a sudden they just forget about him and put him in this Battle Royal match. So he better fucking win.
Well, I rewatched the clip of him versus Sami Zayn in NXT when he debuted. And it did give me goosebumps, and I forgot. It's 5 years ago, eh?
Yeah.
And I did forget how big Nakamura was. I hope for his sake, he can win this, and it could kind of... I mean, nothing really happens with the winner of this.
No.
But if they're going to do anything with the winner of this, I hope it's Shinsuke, because I would like to see him back in at least, like... Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't work in a mid-card.
No.
So to me, it's either put him in the top of the card or just send him out.
I would have liked to see a program with him and Roman, even though I know he's not going to win, and I don't care. I would have liked to see that program with him and Roman Reigns.
They would have had a good match.
Yeah, I think so. Instead of doing another Kevin Owens. But then again, I was happy with every Kevin Owens match. So
I can't complain.
And dude, we're getting Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. So I'm fucking excited about that. I just hope. Owners. I hope there is some kind of stipulation. They can go all out. No DQ. The only thing I don't like about it is Jake Paul is going to be involved.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So Sami Zayn's been filming a documentary for like the past couple months on like how the WWE's screwing him. And he's, it's been funny. Sami Zayn's been pretty good. He's been doing a good work. You'll like it. You'll like the shit he's been doing. But basically, like, he got Logan Paul to review it or look at it. And then, like, I guess WWE reached out to him and gave him some money to be involved. So WWE's taking Bad Bunny. They're taking Logan Paul, people who have millions of viewers and followers and trying to get more eyes in the product. So I get it from a business standpoint. But this is not the match I want to see it happen.
No,
I don't want to see him cost anybody a match. I don't want to see him, period. You know, that I don't want to see him, period. So
I want to see Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in a straight one-on-one with a bunch of brutal fucking devastating moves that we haven't seen.
No DQ or a TLC match or something like that.
Okay, yeah, a TLC match would be great too. But just even a classic one-on-one with a bunch of false finishes, like a good 20-minute match, 25-minute match. But if Logan Paul, first of all, cheers to Logan Paul for being a dude who made himself on YouTube as a kid and is now going to be featured as a celebrity on WrestleMania. Like, I don't like the guy, but I got to give him respect for that. But yeah, if he's going to determine the winner of Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, that's a slap in the face to every Montreal wrestling fan there ever was.
I would love to have this match on night one, just because fuck the main event. Like, it's going to be great, the main event, but like the first match with fans. Imagine that. Yeah. Like, imagine that. Like, I'm looking at the first day. Like, I hope it's not Bad Bunny and The Miz. I really fucking don't. You know what could be beneficial for this? Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. I think that would be a really good opening match for Cesaro.
You got to think of the first
for Cesaro, because Cesaro, he's. I think Cesaro's going to get the win at WrestleMania. I think Seth Rollins is like, you know what? I want Cesaro to win at WrestleMania. Like,
somehow, Cesaro beating Seth Rollins also puts Seth Rollins over.
Yeah, so. No, Seth Rollins doesn't hurt him at all.
No, but it helps him in like the super fan is going to appreciate it.
There's so much history there too. I really hope they do a package too where they show the two of them together as like, I don't remember, Tyler Black and
what's his name? Claudio
Castellano, whatever. Yeah, I was watching some photos of them on the indie scene wrestling. There's so much history there. Somebody posted out like the graduating class or the Hall of Fame of Ring of Honor, and there's so many people in there that you'd be like, holy shit, like Adam Pearson.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy,
nuts.
Man. It's yeah, nuts. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see.
WWE is basically ROH right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, guys. So there you go. We predicted NXT. It was a good show tonight. NXT, yeah. Shooting the shit on many topics. We are on the road to WrestleMania, guys. NXT TakeOver next week. We'll see if we're feeling like it, if we're up to it. It's during the week. We're old. But a post-show could be nice. It is WrestleMania week after all. Maybe have a good week out of it. And then next week as well, too, guys, we'll be doing our predictions for WrestleMania. WrestleMania, it is here, guys. So hope you guys are gearing up. A lot of stuff going on next week. And I don't know. I think that's about it for me.
I mean, it's a busy month, guys. It's April. It's if you're a wrestling fan, this is our holiday. Like Des said, we have all that. On top of that, we have episode 200 coming up at the end of April. We have it's probably going to be in May. Anyways, we have Trivia 12 that we're going to do at the end of the month. How I Met Your Mother, that's still on the back burner. We're still going to do it.
I'm holding it hostage.
A bunch of extra shows and bonuses, as much as we can do, with real life and stuff. But yes, guys, enjoy NXT TakeOver. We'll be back next week. It'll be a fun one. On behalf of Talkmania, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Make sure to give us a follow at _Talkmania on Twitter and on Talkmania on Instagram, Talkmania TV, because we'll be streaming shit probably towards WrestleMania week and Trivomania. And guys, until then, enjoy yourself. Enjoy WrestleMania week. We'll be there with you guys. Until next time, happy Rusev Day. Yeah, brother.